The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with John Gilroy of Lectromech, which is entirely responsible for its content.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. Every week, John speaks with public and private sector IT experts about some of the IT trends and challenges facing agencies and industry. Now your host, John Gilroy.
Welcome to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Matt Bradell. He's a vice president of health IT at a company called LCG. Good morning, Matt. How are you?
Good morning, John. I'm great.
Great. I always look at popular shows and trending topics, and I looked at what was popular in the last couple of years. And what a greenfield and evergreen topic is mobile device management and mobile devices and how my govies can take advantage of managing them and what to learn and what's new. And I saw a report on LCG. They apparently got some award for something or other. And I said, well, geez, maybe we'll have old Matt in the studio and talk about what they can do to help out my listeners. My listeners, by the way, are federal IT professionals, get to work at 9 o'clock in the morning, beat their head against the wall. By 5 o'clock, they go home, and they're frustrated. I mean, they're getting their budgets pulled back. People are waltzing in with these strange new devices, and they don't know how to manage it and what to emphasize, what not to emphasize. And the idea behind the show is just, hey, throw them a lifeline, give them an idea, maybe a white paper, or here's what we did at NIH, here's what we did at the VA, and maybe you can apply it at Treasury. And that's the whole idea behind this show, is trying to help out my folks with learning new things about new topics. Before we begin, Matt, let's talk about the background and how you wound up working for LCG.
Okay. I started with what is called LCG Systems about 16 years ago and really got that company off the ground. And LCG Systems recently merged with its parent company, LCG Inc., to provide a full suite of health IT solutions around the markets that we pursue, which are agencies with health and science-related missions. And our real focus is three areas: health IT, grants management, and scientific research support.
And if you go to your website, and it's awful easy to find, I'll say it slowly, L, C as in Charlie, G, INC, LCGinc.com. You find out that you're involved in tech consulting, biomedical research, grants management, decision analytics, software engineering. They all kind of seem to bounce around healthcare IT somewhere or other. Is that about right?
Well, they do. And, our goal and what we've been quite successful at doing, and we've grown year over year as a result, is really developing a track record of solutions around software development, enterprise systems, technical architectures, which include a lot of the things that our agency partners are looking for right now: mobility, cloud solutions, open source. And we've really grown in the HHS, NIH, FDA, VA, HRSA, that space, and are in about 20 federal agencies now.
That's a lot. When I have companies on the show who are Microsoft partners, go to the website, and Microsoft is the solution for everything. Or if they're Salesforce partners, Salesforce is the solution for everything. When I go to your website, I see Microsoft, I see Apple, I see AirWatch, I see Good Technologies, I see Drupal, Partridge in the Pear Tree. It looks like it's a handyman's toolbox. It's like, okay, I'm a handyman. I could be doing painting one day, plumbing the next, but that's what it is. It's almost a toolbox of different solutions.
Well, it really is. And our approach is somewhat technology agnostic, and it's really understanding what our clients' needs are and evaluating the marketplace for the tools that make the most sense to help them accomplish their mission. Sometimes that's a Microsoft solution, frequently it is, but increasingly it's an open source platform like Drupal or a open source platform like the upcoming Sage Bio Networks initiative that's really helping transform biomedical research.
Yeah, biomedical research is a very serious topic. I once had the pleasure of meeting this guy named Francis Collins.
Oh, and, did you?
Yeah. What's interesting, his hobby is boxing.
How about that?
Yeah, and I met him while he was playing a guitar. Really, what a character. So when I think of NIH, I think of a real wide skill set. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what your company has. It has a pretty wide skill set. So if an agency knocks on your door and says, look, I got this problem with X, Y, and Z. You can say, well, you know, 9/16 wrench not going to work. May have to use a ball peen hammer. Mm-hmm. In other words, well, geez, if the solution is with Apple and you can't use that for some security reasons, we may have to look at a different solution, which I think is the whole reason and rationale behind the phrase device agnostic or platform agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about some of the activities you have with VA.
Sure. So a number of years ago, we started developing real enterprise management solutions. It actually came out of the NIH and grew into a number of other federal agencies around Apple systems and iOS, so the Apple mobile operating system. And several years ago, VA was just getting started with their Connected Health Initiative, and we helped them develop a feasibility study to determine, would it be possible to deploy a 5 to 6 figure number of iOS devices into their care centers around the country. And that was really the genesis of what has now turned into a very successful mobility and telehealth program at VA. Since then, we've helped them develop and deploy and manage, it's up to 100,000 iOS and other devices, tablets, phones, using the AirWatch platform. And that's been a very successful deployment and sort of use case for the rest of government in how an agency can truly transform healthcare using mobile technologies.
Yes, I've read several reports on success over there. Obviously, I'll ask the question, security must have been involved as a big consideration in this transition. How big of a consideration is that in the VA versus another HHS?
Well, it's a huge consideration because the VA provides actual care services and has electronic health records. And I think it's more of a consideration in VA and via the tools that have been deployed in that organization, such as AirWatch. There's a very high degree of control around the security of the device and the applications that reside on that device, as well as the data that is stored within those applications. In other agencies which may use mobility solutions, like the National Institute of Biomedical Engineering and Bioimaging, for something more like public outreach, where they're developing ways for the public to engage with the types of research they do, and actually LCG helped them develop an app called Want to Be a Bioengineer, those type of applications are freely available in the Apple App Store, as opposed to an agency app store, and have much less stringent security requirements. So it really depends on the requirement of the agency.
So you have to be flexible with the solution depending on what kind of problems are presented. It makes perfect sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
At the VA, if you remember years ago, there was a laptop that was left in a taxi in New York, and mm-hmm. it was the end of the world, and everyone cried themselves to sleep. I don't hear about that anymore. And with 100,000 devices floating around, one would think that there would be a problem somewhere, but I don't see any front page news.
Well, it's becoming – well, let's put it this way. This technology is rapidly advancing, and the security requirements essentially haven't changed, and federal agencies – probably get beat up more than they deserve in the way that they are able to secure this data. It is very impressive. And as the data proliferates onto millions of devices in people's pockets, that becomes a vastly more complex topic.
Speaking of complexity, let's take a break and come back and talk about something very complex, the Internet of Things, devices, the whole idea of just managing the massive amounts of information. And oh, by the way, it's got to be in a mobile platform. And oh, by the way, it's got to be secure. So there's some very serious challenges that many of my listeners face. And they're looking at different platforms. And maybe you can tell us about what might be a good fit for this platform or that platform and talk about the trends that you see coming up in the next few years for some of my federal listeners. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Matt Burdell, Vice President of Health IT at LCG. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Matt Burdell. He's Vice President of Health IT at LCG. We're talking about the toolbox he has to help out my listeners just try to manage mobile devices. In the first block, we talked about the company, and they involved in many different things, including biomedical research. And oh, by the way, they help organizations like federal agencies with managing mobile devices. And during the break, we kind of said, well, you know, are these ever having a crossover? We have a crossover here. We have what we call a combo. And so there are ways you can combine information you get from mobile devices with bio research. Tell us more about this.
Well, there's this concept that's emerging called mHealth, which is really the fact that mobile devices are essentially ubiquitous now. And biosensors, so an example of a biosensor is an electronic thermometer that pretty much everybody has. But these types of biosensors are becoming vastly more sophisticated and small and will be wearable quite soon. I mean, technically a Fitbit, which I have and love, is a biosensor. And as those biosensors proliferate, and that will happen quite rapidly over the next few years because a lot of federal agencies, including NIH, are funding research in them, there is going to be a huge amount of data available to individuals and to health research organizations via studies using APIs like the Apple Research Kit that helps them better understand the causes of disease, the environmental impact of disease, the genetic makeup of your particular body that, when taken into consideration with all the data from these sensors, tells them something about your health and why you may become sick that we just can't know today. And that, you know, there's this term Internet of Things that a lot of people are talking about, and there is a very close tie-in to what the world is going to look like 5 years from now in the mobile health space. We are going to be collecting so much information about ourselves. It's just going to completely transform healthcare.
And good news and bad news. I was listening to Brian Lamb interview the chief of police for Baltimore a couple weeks back on his Q&A program, and the chief of police said, well, yeah, we can get all the guys wearing cameras, but it collects so much data. They have a challenge of just managing the data, and where do you put it, and how long do you keep it? And legally, how long do we have to keep it? And then, oh, by the way, none of this is budgeted, and so it's like having a puppy show up near your doorstep. Oh, here it is.
Right.
Well, now what?
Right.
I mean, all of a sudden, it's mandated we have to do it. So I think this one idea of, for example, the Apple Watch. Everyone's talking about the Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's some medical devices built into that. At CeBIT in Europe, they just came up with this smart shoe where it has a device in your shoe. It used to be have the shoe and connect to your iPod, but now the shoe's right there. So all of a sudden, we have all this information. Now what? I mean, this is the confluence is good, but the confluence can also bring trouble.
Right. Well, it does. And this is, in a lot of ways, uncharted territory. You know, it is, I wouldn't say it's the Wild West because there is a lot of management around this, but federal agencies have an opportunity to really lead the innovation around mobility and mobile health, especially as it relates to biomedical research. So, and they get that. So the president in his State of the Union recently unveiled a Precision Medicine Initiative, which is funded at the tune of about $215 billion, led by NIH.
With a B in there, huh?
Excuse me, an M.
An M.
Okay. No, I'm just optimistic.
That's a big number.
Yeah.
I've been in D.C. a long time, but even I'm shocked at that number.
And really, the point of that, well, there's many points to it, targeted gene therapy and whatnot, but one of the points is to understand how to better collect and secure data from mobile devices that can be used for biomedical research. So for example, instead of having 500 test subjects in a research study, you can have 20,000 research partners using their mobile phone and perhaps some biosensors, you know, simple ones that measure things that are related to, could say, be Parkinson's, asthma, stroke detection, seizure detection, and combining that information is, you know, it's a new frontier. Where that information is stored, how it's secured, these are all questions that essentially have yet to be answered. And, you know, we'll figure it out together. Companies like LCG and a lot of other smart organizations committed to supporting federal government as well as our partners in government are, you know, are working extremely hard on that.
If your company is positioned in the area of biomedical research, it's also positioned in the area of managing mobile devices, mm-hmm. you can see how those come together and you can actually work in the area of precision medicine. Now, let's take it to a different, take it to the VA. So you're involved in a lot of areas of healthcare IT, mm-hmm. managing mobile devices. Well, it's not just mobile in a hospital. It's not just mobile in a city. It could be mobile with patients who are in rural areas. All of a sudden, mm-hmm. we take this mobile concept and apply it to the real world. Well, no. My guy is in Massillon, Ohio, right. and he is 50 miles from the VA hospital. How can we manage? What is the optimum? You know, what is the best? You know, we talk about improved outcomes, reduced costs. How can we manage that guy in Massillon, Ohio with better outcomes and reduced cost? Maybe mobile fits the bill here.
Well, it absolutely does, and the VA has had a tremendous amount of success around telehealth. It's spending somewhere around $1.6 billion, with a B, a year on that. And the outcomes are showing there's 43% improvements in care for remote veterans who cannot attend a care center in person based on telehealth solutions. And one of the things that the VA is doing that is really leading government is they've developed an app store. It's mobile.va.gov, where veterans can download applications that securely connect them to their electronic health records and give them the ability to track things like their blood sugar results. So when they do see their doctors, they can have it all there. They're not written on a piece of paper or a sticky note or something like that. And it really improves the quality of care.
All of a sudden, it reduces the questions that a physician has to ask. I mean, the physician's got, 8-10 hours a day to work, and they have to use every single increment in there efficiently. And I imagine the more information you have, it's almost like the Washington Redskins drafting a linebacker.
Right.
The more information they have, they'll know which one to draft, which one not to draft. When a physician has a vet come in, and he has a better profile, a better history, mm-hmm. he can give a better opinion. All of a sudden, then you have caseload gets reduced and improve outcomes, and we know all these words. But this is really the hard part, is actually applying mobile to reducing costs in health IT.
And the VA, with this Connected Health Program, has done that. They are looking at 58% reductions in the duration of the stay of a veteran in a hospital, $2,000 in reduced medical costs per patient that's participating in their telehealth program. And their patients are feeling more connected to their healthcare team, even though they're not seeing them, because of these mobile solutions.
It's interesting how to take years ago when I thought of mobile IT and I thought of nurses walking around with an iPad. Mm-hmm. That's what I first thought of. Mm-hmm. But then after subsequently talking to a lot of people at the VA, it said, No, John, it's not just a nurse walking around the hospital rooms. It's some guy in the middle of nowhere who needs, help. And I think that's interesting. I never realized that they would actually have mobile.va.gov for an app store, and vets can go there and download whatever app happens to fit their specific requirements. How many are there?
Well, there's at least a dozen, but part of it is secured that I don't have access to, so I can't see them all.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think that's the right answer, because if you're not a vet, if you're not part of the system, and that's why it's secure. And that's the next question I have, is that what kind of security precautions does the VA have for managing these apps? And does that fit in with the work that LCG does, just the idea of security and app management?
Absolutely. So the VA takes a very secure approach to the deployment of these applications. So there are applications like one called PTSD Coach, which helps veterans with PTSD manage their symptoms, that are publicly available because they don't store any data, they're not making or influencing care decisions. But then there's ones related to electronic health records like the mobile Blue Button app. And those applications are essentially wrapped so that they are secured from other applications on the device and the ability to copy-paste, and data is never stored on the device. And those applications give them the ability to see their health records and do so in a way that isn't going to compromise the security of personal information.
Sounds like the phrase app wrap. Let's take a break. When we get back, talk more about app wrap and security and securing mobile devices versus securing the apps versus securing the data themselves. Kind of confusing concepts here. You are listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Matt Pradell, Vice President of Health IT at LCG. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Matt Pradell, Vice President of Health IT at LCG, Rockville-based company. For more information, awfully easy, lcginc.com. See all kinds of different products that the company handles. During the break, we're talking about ways to learn more. I mean, you know, this is available as a podcast at iTunes. You can listen to this on the air. You can listen to this at federalnewsradio.com. All kinds of ways to learn from this. A lot of my listeners like blogs. I have a blog called Tech Tuesday Blog. Is there a blog or maybe a website or someplace that people can learn and get more information about this topic?
Sure. So healthit.gov has great information about mobile health solutions within federal government and best practices around developing solutions. A company called littlegreensoftware.com has great best practices around app development in the mobile space.
That's what my listeners are going to want because it's got nothing to do with me or you or the government. It's just probably a bunch of developers working out of a garage saying, hey, don't do this, do that.
Yes.
Or, yeah.
And it's practical common sense advice that you read and you think, oh, yeah, that makes sense. And it really does. And I do encourage listeners to take a look at apps.usa.gov, which is a comprehensive list of all federal mobile applications. And that will lead you into areas that you probably never thought of.
You know, I've told this many times. I teach at the graduate school at Georgetown University. They offer a wide range of courses, mostly on project management, portfolio management, cybersecurity. I think the last session, they offered a class on mobile healthcare IT. They had 4 students. Now in the summer, they're offering the same course. They have 24 students.
Yeah,
it's like in 6 months, it's like people just start, well, wait a minute.
Right.
What, we have to learn this. We have to know it. We have a deep and thorough understanding. So if it's taught by Dr. Tom Martin at Georgetown, I mean, it makes sense that many of my listeners are going to go to this site, this green software site? What's
Little
it?
Green Software.
Little Green Software and learn about it and maybe go to your website, download a white paper, go to an event, see what you have to say. Because it's getting this momentum where it's starting to be important for many different aspects.
Absolutely is.
So we talked about precision medicine, biosensors. You know, I'll ask the obvious question. Microsoft is a huge, big company. They're everywhere in the federal government, everywhere in the commercial world. Where does Microsoft fit in this discussion?
Well, as we all know, Microsoft's Windows phones are not as widely deployed as some of the other devices around Android and iOS. And that may change over time, but where Microsoft is really making a lot of strides is within 2 areas. First, their Health Vault solution, which is a secure way to store health records and health data, and their Azure Cloud. So a lot of mobile health solutions have a cloud component, and Microsoft's cloud offerings are every bit as competitive as Amazon's and Google's. They have applicability in federal agencies with a widely deployed Microsoft Office and Windows base. They make it easy to interoperate with those kind of platforms and tools that are already there, and all of it runs on other iOS and Android platforms already.
I had to ask because at your website, you're a partner with Apple as well as with Microsoft, and many times those are competing forces. And only recently has the executives of Microsoft allowed people to get their email on their Apple devices. Well, finally, I mean, it took forever to do that, but I think there's light at the end of the tunnel. So you have to have the right tool for the right fit. I have had whole shows with EAs, enterprise architects, and they talk about designing systems and scalability, expandability, and systems in the cloud. And it just seems that mobile devices that are geographically disparate sending information back to one. It seems like it's going to have to be some kind of a cloud-based solution and with some kind of a cloud-based security applied to this. So we have cloud, we have mobile devices, we have healthcare IT. This has got all the makings of a big problem, doesn't it? I mean, bad things can happen here, but I think there has to be some kind of principles or governance to use all these tools properly.
And that's a very good point. And the first thing that an agency has to do before they get overrun by their employees bringing in their own mobile devices is develop a strong governance structure and policies around appropriate use and securing of both the devices, if it's a government-owned device, or the applications and the data, if it's a device that's personally owned and in a bring-your-own-device program. That is always first. And if the technology comes prior to that, it causes a lot of problems.
So I guess increasingly it's getting harder and harder to find what is what. I was listening to a radio show and someone was saying that really an iPhone is just a small computer you carry around with you. Okay, mm-hmm. Well, that may be the case and it has a lot of power. So a device is, I think of a device as maybe something that can read your blood pressure. All of a sudden devices now are apps. And the whole idea of managing devices and securing devices, this brings up a whole new world of enterprise architecture and where these fit in with designing systems that are scalable as well as secure. I mean, just defining an app, I think the FDA's got a problem. I mean, they haven't had some recent reports on just defining what the heck an app is, isn't it?
Well, yes. And they've done a very good job in a complex and ever-changing environment of issuing some clear guidance to would-be mobile app developers. So they've recently issued guidance, I think as recently as February, around what constitutes a regulated mobile medical app. And essentially what they're saying is, it's a large document, but essentially what they're saying is if the app turns a mobile device into a regulated medical device, then we're going to regulate it. And that happens when it starts posing a risk to patient safety. So using a Fitbit and figuring out how many miles you walk a day is not posing a risk to patient safety. But turning your phone into an EKG monitor on which a doctor may issue you particular guidance or make a medical decision, that will probably be a regulated app.
If I get in a car accident and they take me to the hospital and a person there takes my blood pressure, I want that device to be, you know, certified, accredited.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's the right device. It's measuring the right things because my life depends on it. Mm-hmm. And I would think that increasingly we're getting people with sensors in their shoes and their watches and their phones. I think the FDA is hitting things on the head here. They're saying, well, geez, at what point in time are we going to rely on life and death situations on some software that is not certified or accredited? And I think that's a fuzzy area that needs more work, I think.
Yes, and this is a very rapidly evolving field. And I should mention that the FCC also plays a role in regulation because all of these things are wireless, and they regulate wireless spectrum. So between FDA, FCC, and CMS, who governs whether or not something gets reimbursed via Medicaid, there is a regulatory structure and framework that's being put in place. And it's open, and it should be right now, because this field is so rapidly evolving. But, you know, 5 years, 10 years from now, healthcare is not going to look the same. And a big part of that is going to be because of the computational power sitting in your pocket in your mobile phone.
That's going to amplify again. There's a couple of products or platforms that I'm kind of confused about. Maybe my listeners are confused as well. I think we've all read about AirWatch. We've read about a company called Good Technologies. Are these different products or these platforms? I think AirWatch was bought by VMware. Is that right?
I think so. Yes.
So where do these all fit in?
Well, a lot of those technologies are essentially mobile device management technologies. So there's a number of terms in that field, a number of acronyms around mobile device management, mobile application management, mobile content management, and enterprise device management, which is essentially what, when taken all together, they all do. One of those types of technologies, and there are many others, including some open source ones at this point, have to be deployed in such a way that fits the governance model we talked about earlier within a federal agency to provide the security, the delegation of responsibility for managing mobile devices, and the flexibility needed to make effective use of mobile devices and the applications that sit upon them.
Two different tools could be used in several different applications. Mm-hmm. What you have to do is collect requirements, see where the best fit is. Yep. For some reason, because AirWatch is bought by VMware, I keep thinking of it as software-based, and it's hard for me to imagine they would go into that area, but hey, it's so many things have happened in this space that confuse me.
It's a great extension of what they're doing, and the AirWatch implementation that we help manage at VA is actually in the cloud. I mean, that was part of the RFP and the requirements that it is in a secure FedRAMP certified cloud environment.
And that's where VMware fits in.
Yes.
The dynamic allocating resources and cloud environment for mobile devices. My, things that we couldn't even conceived of several years ago. Let's take a break, come back, talk more about some of your personal technology choices and maybe the future of managing devices for the VA and other parts of the federal government. You're listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio this morning, we have Matt Burdell, Vice President of Health IT at LCG. Welcome back to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. In the studio, we have Matt Burdell, Vice President of Health IT at LCG. We have a lot of listeners who are active on Twitter. Do you folks have a Twitter handle there, Matt?
Sure. LCG's Twitter handle is at LCGGov, G-O-V. And mine is at Matt Burdell, at MattBriDell.
A lot of double consonants in that one, huh?
That's
a tough one for a radio guy to say. I'll let you say that. So that's interesting. My Twitter handle is at Ray Gilray, and you can listen to this as a podcast. Just go to iTunes and look around there under Federal News Radio, and you can listen to this while you're exercising at the gym, as you're driving into work. I was reading about podcasting, and they say the optimum length of a podcast should be the typical car drive for your listener.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because my typical car drive is about exactly as long as your show.
Well, that's incredible, but that's how it works. So a lot of places get information. I mean, a lot of people go to iTunes and listen to stuff on training and athletic events and cars and sports. So I like neutral sites for information. And let's punch this up, this neutral site again, this green software site. What's it again for my listeners?
It's littlegreensoftware.com.
They don't have a dog in the fight. They're probably software developers that want to share information to everyone.
Exactly.
Work for federal government, work for a commercial organization, work for a nonprofit, who cares? As long as we can share information somehow. Mm-hmm. The information I'm going to share right now is Matt's personal tech choices.
So
are listening going, this guy seems to be very methodical and knows a lot about healthcare IT, and let's just see what kind of a phone he has. And so I've come up with a scientific 10-question test. We'll find out if, in fact, you are a card-carrying nerd. First question.
Okay.
So we break into your house. How many old-school desktops do we see floating around there?
Well, I have an Apple IIe, believe it or not, in storage.
Well, you get points, actually, for that.
So that's a classic.
That's a classic.
But I use one laptop.
Yeah, that's like a 57 Chevy for a car guy. How many cell phones have you personally purchased in the last year?
I have purchased one iPhone.
That's not getting many points. No. You have a personal Twitter feed? Yes, we know
that. At Matt Burdell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have an Instagram account?
I don't.
Okay. And what kind of smartphone do you have?
I have a Apple iPhone 5S.
Okay. And what's the most popular app in that thing?
The most popular app in terms of what I use is literally my calendar app. Mm-hmm. It helps me be where I need to be. The app I enjoy the most right now is one called Paper Karma. All one word, Paper Karma, which enables you to take a photo of your junk mail that you get to your house every day and automatically unsubscribe you. It's brilliant.
Now that's an interesting one. Calendar, put people asleep, but that's a good one to know. Paper Karma. So we break into your house. How many tablet devices do you see floating around there?
We've got two. We've got an iPad and a Kindle.
That's good. And when was your most recent post in a social networking site?
About midnight last night.
Wow, you're getting a lot of points here. And you have here's a question. Do you have a mobile fitness device on your person?
I do. I have a Fitbit. I think it's fantastic. I see it as the first step in a long evolution to my ability to understand my body.
I'll say. And the last book you read, was it electronic or paper?
Well, it was neither. It was from Audible.com, which is a cloud-based service that is owned by Amazon, and the book was David and Goliath by Malcolm Gladwell.
Mm-hmm.
And I do that because I have a long commute, and I love your show, but it doesn't come out every day, so I got to fill in with other things.
That's a great answer. You get many nerd points in there. I'll have to put that through my Apple IIe in my basement, and I'll print it out in green bar and put it in the U.S.
There
mail, as long as you don't label it as junk mail with your app called Paper Karma. That would be the meat circle there. I've been doing this show for 8 years, and one of my first guests was the people from VMware. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, this seems like a great idea, and they just blew up. They exploded everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought there was a lot of potential with mobile devices, but I never would have dreamed that we'd have people walking into federal hospitals with sensors in their shoes mm-hmm. and their watch, carrying three or four different types of mobile devices. I mean, I can remember just having one personal computer and being real proud of that. Where's it all heading? Is it all going to the cloud? Is it all going to be the next generation will just automatically think all of their personal medical information is stored in the cloud somewhere? Where's it all heading, Matt?
Well, it probably will all end up in the cloud. There is probably 2 years before the term quantified self becomes a mainstream term, and I encourage everybody to Google it, and there's a great blog about quantified self called The Quantified Self, and there is going to be a rise of wearable biosensors. And as this technology matures and we figure out how to collect and secure the data from it, it's going to be even more ubiquitous than it is today. We are right at the cusp of a real transformation in healthcare.
And I think we have to go back to undergraduate school and get out a little books on ethics and morals and values and say, well, this technology is just Jim Dandy, but where do you draw the line between knowing information? And what if your son applies for a job in 20 years mm-hmm. and they say, oh, you're diabetic there, little Billy, and we're not going to give you the job? Now, there's the question for you, isn't it?
And this does open up a can of worms in terms of what people are comfortable sharing. And every generation seems to be a little more comfortable sharing more. My advice to everybody is if you are considering developing a research study using mobility, you're very clear about the informed consent and your ability to anonymize and protect the data. And if you are considering participating in one using a mobile medical device or even your iPhone, that you read the fine print very carefully and make your choices based on that.
I think that's a great takeaway from this interview is that, the technology's fine. It's dazzling. Okay, we know the Apple Watch is out there for $17,000.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That makes for good headline news. It's great. But, let's take a step back here and say, okay, now what are we getting into here? And how much information do I want to reveal? And there may be segments of society. I mean, obviously there's segments of society that could care less. There's segments of society that put the foot down and go, whoa, Matt, now let's just stop right here.
Right. And that's a great public debate that I'm looking forward to participating in. And, federal agencies and the federal government play a very strong leadership role in shaping the future of healthcare and how mobility intersects with it. And from a regulatory side, from a research side, from using it within federal agencies like NIH and VA to provide healthcare, government is in a prime position to drive the future of this.
Well, with 175 hospitals, I think that's how many VA have. Mm-hmm. I mean, just practical deployment, a lot of people sitting back saying, okay, let's see them deploy it and see what mistakes they make. And all of a sudden, we're going to emulate what worked for them.
Right.
And so you have someone who is the old-fashioned word is the bleeding edge of technology. And, hey, let them make all the mistakes, and we'll learn afterwards. But that's the role. Who would think that the federal government now is in the role of in the leading edge? Now, you think with NASA, of course, but with healthcare IT,
mm-hmm.
really?
Mm-hmm.
But it's so expensive and it's so risky and so legally dangerous. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think this is the consideration that people have.
Yeah, and there's a very good, I'd say, public, private, and nonprofit partnership around this that's really evolving. And you look at what Apple has done with their research kit and made it open source and working with nonprofit organizations like Sage BioNetworks, as well as universities and research partners, a lot of which at one point or another is funded by federal government agencies like NIH. There's a lot of connections there.
And one nonprofit group that you, I think, affiliated with is HIMSS. Is that right? You participate
right.
in HIMSS. You go to the annual events, go to their conferences.
Yeah. I will be at HIMSS in Chicago in a couple weeks. Would look forward to meeting anybody who is going to be attending, and hit me up on my Twitter feed and we'll connect.
Will you be wearing your Apple Watch?
I'm not paying $17,000 for a watch. No, thank you.
I can't believe that. No matter how much usable or verifiable information it can provide for you, it's kind of difficult. So for more information on the company, LCG Inc., lcginc.com, find out what they have to offer. If your agency is in a position where you're scratching your head, getting frustrated, trying to figure out how to manage mobile devices, maybe manage the information, they may be able to offer a solution that you never thought of. I mean, they're not locked into any one vendor. They can look at a wide variety of solutions and say, well, maybe this is a solution for on-premises, mm-hmm. this is a solution for the cloud, this don't work for you. Or maybe they're going to say, we're the wrong company. Mm-hmm. You may have to just do it on your own because there are certain lines that have to be drawn. And what I found out is many successful companies are very honest and upfront behind, you know what? I just can't work on a diesel motor. You have to go next door because right. they specialize in diesel motors or whatever kind of automobile tools they happen to have or specialize with that. And I think that's the takeaway from today's interview as well. You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy here on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. In the studio, Matt Pradell, Vice President of Health IT at LCG. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you, John. Really appreciate it.
You've been listening to Federal Tech Talk with John Gilroy of Lectromech, providing solutions to design, certify, and maintain aircraft wire systems. If you miss any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Federal Tech Talk, Tuesday mornings at 9, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Like Federal News Radio on Facebook for a look at some of the top federal stories each day. Plus, we'll give you a taste of what goes on behind the scenes. Find us at facebook.com/federalnewsradio.